Greetings, ABCers. We'll be doing things a little bit differently tonight. First, I'm going to start off with a short message that's meant for ABCers only. And in the message, I'll explain to you what we're going to do next. So, I want to tell you that shortly after I was saved, the Lord gave me a vision of people, multitudes marching forward toward the cliff, and then march right over the cliff and down into fires of hell, without skipping a beat. They were totally oblivious of what was ahead. And with that, I was called to be an evangelist, which I did for many, many years. Recently, I had a vision of ABCers, myself included. And we're sitting around this great big banquet table. We were feasting on the Word of God. Here at ABC, we have 7.5 years of formal schools on the Bible. Not about the Bible, on the Bible. How to use the Word of God for successful living, and to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Plus, over 2,000 additional unique and I think very good lessons. That's a lot of the Word of God. And in the vision, I saw us all sitting around this great big banquet table, feasting on the Word of God. And around us were people who had nothing to eat. They were starving. They were sick and dying because they had a shortage of the Word of God. And with that vision, it ushered in the next phase of my ministry, which we've been talking about for quite some time, that we need to get the Word out. Well, that has begun. I had that vision 2 days ago. Tonight we started. I'll talk more about this on the first Sunday of 2021. But from here on now, we go into a series on salvation. I believe that most, if not all, ABCers will, through the duration of the series, learn more about what's involved in salvation and get goodness out of it for themselves. But that's not the main purpose. The main purpose is for all this series, the entire series on salvation, module by module, will be loaded on a public website called Salvation Made Plain. I would expect this particular module, the first module, to be up, my guess would be the first or second week of January. And thereafter, every week, as soon as it starts, and we may not teach it every week, as soon as it starts, the module would be up on the website. And you can point your friends and family to that. Everybody needs to know about salvation. And it has been very difficult bringing new people into ABC because we've gone so far into the scriptures that it's hard for a newcomer to come into it. So we'll have the Salvation Made Plain website, and we'll have another website where we can send new people coming into ABC to these two websites. Thank you for your attention. And thank you for your support and your prayer as we go forward with the next phase of the ministry that God has given to Syria and me, to this church. Well, greetings. Glad you could all join us and that you found your way to the website Salvation Made Plain. And that's what we plan on doing through this series, is making salvation very clear and very understandable to each and every person who wants to move closer and closer into a deeper fellowship, a deeper service to our Heavenly Father, to Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, we start in this module, Salvation Part 1, an overview. This is an overview of what salvation means in the Scriptures. For most Christians that I've talked to, that I've met, whose writings I've read, they, for the most part, seem to think that salvation is simply being born again. We know that when we receive Jesus as Savior and as Lord by saying some form of a sinner's prayer and asking Jesus into our heart, that we are born again. John 3:3 says, unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And for many, many people, that is salvation. They've said the sinner's prayer, they're born again, they're born out of the family of the devil into the family of God, and because they're in the family of God, and because the family of God belongs in heaven, they've booked their reservation to go to heaven. But that is not an ending. That is a beginning. Being born again is the beginning of a process of salvation. And as we go into the series, we'll show you that salvation in the Scriptures, with one exception, is always in the future. It's always talked about in the future. And we'll look at that in some detail. Being born again under this age of grace, it is true that if a believer dies physically during this time of the age of grace, that to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. And yes, such a person who dies under grace, who has said the sinner's prayer, who is born again, who has accepted Jesus as Savior, will go to heaven, will be with the Lord. But even that is a beginning and not an end. Surely you must have sat back and thought, wow, here are people who have been born again a few days, they don't know the word, and they die. Here are some people who have been living the word for 50 years, and they die. Is there no difference? And people might say, yeah, they get different rewards. Let me tell you, it's way, way more than simply getting different rewards. You know, one person, just humorously, maybe one person might end up with a log cabin and one might end up with a mansion. That's not what's important. What's important is living the will of God. And we know that when you're born again, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16, God, the creator of the universe, comes to live in you, specifically in your spirit. Now, why would he do that if being born again was the major goal, was the ending, was a cat's meow? No. He comes to live in you and in me, not that we would be bumps on a log or a couch potato. He came to live in us that we could walk in his authority and his power, that we could do miracles, get people saved. That's the reason he comes to be in us. And that comes about as the young believer starts feeding first on milk. 1 Peter 2:2 says that newborn babes should desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow. So they grow on milk until they get to meat. 1 Corinthians 3:2. It's written, Apostle Paul wrote, I would have taught you meat, but you're only ready for milk. There's a process of going through milk and getting to meat. And as we feed and live on the meat, we come to the point where we get the strong meat. Hebrews 5:14. Strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and bad. Not just one, but both good and bad. So, we've seen the process here of going from a child on milk to growing into an adult on meat to a strong adult, in fact, an overcomer on strong meat. That to me is synonymous with Romans 12:2, which says, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. It is the will of God that all be saved. But when they're saved, they're children. The good will. Acceptable will is to live as an adult in the family of God. But the perfect will is to achieve the goal that God has set out for every single believer. And that every single believer will, sooner or later, have to achieve that goal or fail. And that's what this series is all about. Let's go quickly through the scriptures. I don't want you to believe me. If you are new to this website, you don't know me from Adam. But I'll tell you, I'm not Adam. Thank God I'm not Adam. Because Adam only had one chance. When he sinned, was gone. Thank God I am under grace and all my sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So let's look at the outline. So far, we've covered the introduction. Part A, children of God. John 3:3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Must be born again. In fact, born again by water and the Spirit, which we will go into in the future as to why water and the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Romans 8:16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Once we are born again, we know that we are children of God. And we change. And our lives change. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. If we are children of God, logically speaking, we are heirs of God. And Scripture says we are. And joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs mean God, whatever God gave to Jesus, which by the way was everything, whatever God gave to Jesus, we jointly own it with Jesus. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, which is all believers, all the believers are heirs. You could be born again one day. You're an heir. You know, if the richest man in the country had a baby, one baby, that first day that baby was born, that baby was an heir, is an heir. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. If he's a child, he doesn't have the authority and the dominion. Nobody lets a child, you know, take a couple of $100,000 to buy a sports car or give away $1 million to the poor. Children can't make those decisions. Galatians 4:2. Though he be Lord of all, he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Galatians 3:26. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Because of our faith in Christ Jesus, we accepted Jesus as Savior and we were born again. Now, accepting Him as Lordship is an ongoing process. Accepting Him as Savior is a one-time thing you do. You accept Him as Savior and you're born again. But the Lordship is every second of every day. Every second of every day, you have to be living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we do that by faith in Christ Jesus. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So even when you're a child, the Spirit of God is in you. And the Spirit of God, if you are doing your part, which is do the little bit you know, the Holy Spirit will see that you overcome the challenges and you have a successful day, successful period of time until you grow into the Word. We all know that young believers often get miracles much more rapidly and more frequently than mature believers. And that's very, very true, because they have very little bit to do. They know very little bit. All they have to do is the little bit they know, which could be, you know, call for the elders of the church, a prayer over me because the person is challenged with a sickness. But as they grow, they have to do more and more. So children of God, sons of God, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For before this, you are not able to bear the meat. If you give a piece of steak to a six-month-old child, it's not going to work out so well. It takes time to grow from a child on milk to an adult starting meat. Galatians 4 verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were under bondage under the elements of the world. So as children, in the natural, the parents take care of the children and protect them. The children, even in the natural, are still required to do that which they know. At a certain point, they quit relying on people to change their diapers. At a certain point, believers grew up from going up in the prayer line of church, at least they're supposed to have the elders pray over them, to understanding that, yes, healing comes through the anointing with all by the elders, but healing also comes through the prayer of agreement with your spouse, with a family member, with anybody who's a believer. And eventually healing comes because Mark 11:24 says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And it goes even further. So eventually we grew up to John 14:14, which says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And even that has depths of revelation that we haven't got time to go into here. So when we're children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world, and spiritually that's true. Children, it's a lot easier for children with minimal word in them to overcome the challenges and the temptations of the world. But as we get more and more of the Word of God in us, we move away more and more from carnality into walking in the Spirit. Galatians 4 verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So the Jews were children of God, servants of God, children of God. but they could not move over into the area of being born again and getting set free from some of these challenges until Jesus came. So God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So once we're born again, we can start growing, getting away from the bondage of the elements of the world into more of the maturity of a son of God. Verse 6, and because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. So the Gentiles have learned how to become sons of God by being born again. The Jews, of course, in the beginning, then all the early Christians were all Jews. Took a while before the gospel was preached to the Gentiles. But thank God, the Gentiles have been grafted into the family of Abraham. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, when a person is born again, they are born again spiritually as a child and feed on milk. As they continue to feed, they will feed on the Word of God and start getting more and more meat. Eventually, they get enough meat to realize they need to be led by the Spirit of God. We, as we grew up, need to be led by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And Romans 8:14, again I read it, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Overcomers. So what is the difference between a son of God and an overcomer? The son of God is living in the acceptable will of God. They're living a lifestyle that's pleasing to God. But the overcomer is moving up into the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. When God created this universe and this earth, God had a perfect plan for mankind. Mankind was the apple of His eye, and He had a perfect plan, and He wanted mature sons and daughters. God did not create mankind to have children in diapers and some adults who are sometimes obedient and sometimes not. God wanted a family of adults who are overcomers, who are obedient to Him, and the scriptures refer to them as the church without spot or wrinkle, the glorious church. That is the perfect will of God, that we be washed by the water of the Word, living under the Lordship of Jesus, till we come to that point at about the same time when Jesus returns. We come to that point of living in the perfect will of God to welcome back Jesus, Messiah, when He returns. So let's look at some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Jesus is our wisdom. And the first bit of wisdom we really had was the wisdom that we were sinners and we needed a Savior. And when we acted on that wisdom, we asked Jesus into our heart and we were born again. And we were given the gift of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was a gift that came to us when we accepted Jesus Christ. But after righteousness comes sanctification. Because the scriptures tell us, in particular Romans chapter 6, that we should take the righteousness that's in us and work it out into our members as holiness. Yes, We are born again, yes, so sins are washed away, but there is a process of maturing. And the process of maturing is that we move into sanctification. And when we are living in the wisdom of God and in the righteousness of God and doing our best to live a sanctified life, then we move into the area of redemption, the fullness of redemption. And we spend a lot of time studying what this all means. But the fullness of redemption is what God sees and calls His perfect will. 1 Corinthians 7:23. You are bought with a price. Be not servants of men. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. You're not the habitations of evil things, and you're not called to mingle and serve mammon. You're called to serve God. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from iniquity, wrong way of thinking, wrong way of living, that is sinful and can be very evil, but is not specifically a transgression of a law that God has given to us. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We should all be zealous, eager, ardently eager to do good works, the good works of the gospel. Hebrews 5:12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. So having been born again for a while and having been feeding on the word for a while, you should have had enough time to be teachers of the principles of the oracles of God. But instead, you have become such as still need milk and not of strong meat. So God is not pleased when we stay on milk or we go to meat and fall back. He's not pleased when we draw back. He's very pleased when we grow and move into strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good, both good and bad. That's the goal for all of us, to grow up to the point of feeding on strong meat where we can understand good and bad. And especially in the times we live in, especially with the things that are coming up in the world in short order, we need to be able to do that. And strong meat brings us to what's summarized very nicely in Revelation 21:7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. That's an overcomer. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. Overcome every challenge, every day. For God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. God has equipped you and me to be conquerors, to be super conquerors. We have everything we need to be winners. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. God is your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army. We have everything we need to be overcomers every day over every challenge of circumstances and of the enemy. Let's close it with a summary. In John 14:21, Jesus says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. How does Jesus know we love him? We keep his commandments. And when we keep his commandments, he loves us and his Father loves us. And I will love you and I will manifest myself to you. Powerful statements. So powerful that Judas said unto him, this is not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not unto the world? Not unto the world. The blessings of God and the presence of God are available to believers. To believers who are growing from level to level, from glory to glory, from milk to meat to strong meat. Living with God, living with Jesus as Lord, is not a question of standing still. It's the question of either moving forward or going backwards. If you're going up a hill, steep hill, in a car, you're either going forward or backwards. If you have no brakes, and you're in, you know, if it's a car with a clutch and the gears aren't engaged, you're either going forward or backward. You can put the gears in and go forward, or you can take the gears out and you'll eventually go backwards. That's the Christian life. You can either go up the hill or go backward. You cannot stay still. You cannot stand still. So, Jesus answered in John 14:23, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. That's the promise of Jesus. Old times it said, if you love me, you keep my commandments, you keep my word. That's the process of growing into your salvation. Let's see how that's summarized in John 8:31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, continue, going from level to level, from glory to glory. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. He's saying there are two kinds of believers. All believers who are born again, if they die under the age of grace, notice I'm saying under the age of grace, they will be with the Lord. For to be absent from the body for a believer is to be with the Lord under the age of grace. So all believers will be with the Lord. But while they're here on earth, there's a second class of believers called disciples. The scripture also refers to them as the elect and the very elect. Well, the disciples, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the disciples, in the process of salvation, the disciples, the very elect, are the ones who get set free. The disciples are the ones who continue the word and have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. The disciples, the very elect, are the ones who continue the word, and God will tell them of things to come and how to prepare. The disciples are the ones who continue in the word, such as the word of healing. And as they continue the word of healing, more and more they'll get healing in better and different ways. If somebody gets healed and 5 years later they're still trying to get healed the same way by going up in a prayer line at the church and be anointed, or what is even more common, trying to find a miracle service where an anointed person of God can lay hands on them and heal them. If they're still trying to do that 5 years later, they're almost surely not going to get their healing. Healing is part of the entire salvation package. But healing, just as the believer has to go from milk to meat to strong meat, so does healing. I've been getting my healing from God for ever since I got saved, over 40 years ago. But the way I get my healing today is very different from the way I got it 40 years ago. If I was still trying to get my healing today the way I got it 40 years ago, I wouldn't be standing here. I would have died a long time ago. But I don't plan on dying. I plan on being here when Jesus returns. How about you? Thank you for your time and your attention. And I invite you back to module number 2. You'll like it. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. Well, the Word of God says that every morning, God brings new beginnings and new mercies. And so ABC is going to have a new website. And I already have somebody in mind that I'm going to recommend to it, someone who's been witnessing to a friend who needs to hear this. So, who do you have in mind that you can recommend? We all want to check it out ourselves and turn other people on to it, because this world needs to hear about Jesus. And there'll be those that will hear and that will get so excited and will run with it. And those are the ones that we're looking for. Those are the ones God wants to reach. Technically, He wants to reach everybody, but not everyone is going to make himself available to be reached. For in those last days, the Word of God says that people will harden their hearts, but we're looking for those with the soft hearts, ready to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and receive communion. We're learning through the Communion Club how very awesome an important and powerful communion is. And so we want to take the elements of communion we want to receive of our Jesus and seal this teaching, seal the details of this teaching, seal the Word of God in our hearts, and in the process with a prayer that God will anoint this new website on Salvation Made Plain, that the Holy Spirit will draw people, the hungry people, the thirsty people, to His Word, to receive the truth. We can all be praying in that regard, ongoing. For the Lord told us when we stopped traveling a little over 10 years ago, that the way for ABC was through the internet, and the way to reach the world is through the World Wide Web. Amen. Okay, so let's take a moment to confess any known sins. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit falling afresh upon us as we come to Your table at Your invitation. We joyously run to You, Lord, knowing that the Word of God says, on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread. He's with His disciples sitting together, and He took the bread, and He blessed it and broke it and said, take, eat. This is My body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. As we remember, Lord, we just reiterate what we have learned here at ABC, learned from Your Word, that healing belongs to Your children, and that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So awesome, so wonderful, Thank you, Jesus, for paying that price for us. And we want to make it all worth your while by receiving total healing manifestation from you in every part of our bodies. We don't limit you, Lord. If we have more than one challenge, we know you paid the price for all of them. And so we receive total overhaul on our bodies by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We receive, through our faith action plan, we receive the broken body of Jesus in exchange for our healings in full manifestation. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, as we now partake together in remembrance and in rejoicing. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." No more covering over, no more annual sacrifice. Jesus, you were the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the once-for-all sacrifice for all sins and for all people. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We owe you so much. And you gave your all to us. The least we can do is to give you our all. All that we are and all that we have, Jesus, we give unto you. And we say, thank you. Thank you for our sins being washed away. Thank you for your blood sealing the old covenant and establishing the new, better, and everlasting covenant. Thank you for all the promises in this cup that belong to us, all the promises in the covenants. Oh, wow. So much, so many, so awesome, so wonderful you are, Jesus. And we love you and we thank you as we remember, as we receive now the precious life-giving blood of Jesus Christ.